In last week's episode, we teed up the question what it means to be a Lutheran, and in today's episode, I respond to that important question. Stay tuned. Hello, friends. Pastor Tim Westermeyer here, senior pastor of St. Philip the Deacon in the western suburbs of Minneapolis. Good to be with you as always. So this week is part two of two episodes about what does it mean to be Lutheran. If you didn't catch last week's episode yet, we'll link to that. You might want to listen to that before I get into this week. I've been reflecting on sort of how best in a few short minutes to communicate the distinctives of what it means to be Lutheran. And I do want to say a few things. This could be a very long conversation, of course, and as always, I welcome your thoughts. But I'm going to sort of make a few points, and ultimately, I want to lift up four distinctive points about who we are as Lutherans, okay? But before that, a few, again, preliminary comments. The first one is that Lutherans are Christians, and being Christian is the most important thing. Lutheran is an adjective that modifies what it means to be Christian. We lead with Christian, in other words. So first and foremost, I just want to, again, reassert we are Christian. And that is affirmed or underscored by Martin Luther's Small Catechism, which is an important document in the Lutheran tradition. And the Small Catechism is based on some key documents or teachings that all Christians would share. It's framed around them. So the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, which we confess with, I think, most other Christians, the Lord's Prayer, and then the sacraments. In the case of the Lutheran side of the fence, that would include baptism and communion. So again, that underscores the unity we share as Christians, which is part of what I talked about, again, in last week's episode. I imagine after last week's episode, and I'm moving to a second point here, still leading up to the four distinctive things, that some people assume that what I would lift up today would be what are called the solas, S-O-L-A-S, which is a Latin word that means alone. And I'm going to lift up those three. There are three or five, depending on how you count them, but the three are the most important. They are sola scriptura, sola fide, and sola gratia. So sola scriptura means by scripture alone, as opposed to tradition. Sola fide means faith alone versus works, versus our works. And sola gratia means grace alone versus our merit. I'm actually not going to spend a lot of time on that. In fact, I'm really not going to spend any time on that. You might want to Google that if you want to get a little bit deeper dive. And if you want me to touch on them later, I'm happy to. But I actually am not sure that's the most helpful way to talk about who we are as Lutherans, even though it's an important part of our tradition. Okay, so that's the second thing. Third point, again, still leading up to the four distinctives. I do want to say a word about the word Protestant. And this, again, gets a little bit at some of what I talked about last week. Martin Luther, you will remember, posted his 95 Theses in 1517. That was the sort of symbolic start of the what, again, is typically called the Protestant Reformation. That word Protestant implies that people on our side of the theological fence stand in protest to something else, and that name sort of ultimately, I think, reinforces that posture and makes us think that all we are people who protest. Again, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but I want to make an important historical point, which is that the word Protestant doesn't actually show up until, what would it be, about 12 years after Martin Luther nails his 95 Theses. Before that, the language was much more about reforming the church, okay, or being a Reformation church. And I actually think the language of Reformation, and all of us, both individually and institutions, are always in need of Reformation, is a more helpful term than Protestant. Protestant tends to set us apart against other people, you know, most obviously as Lutherans, it sort of goes immediately to that, well, we're not Catholics, which again is not a particularly helpful way to talk about, well, what are we though? Okay. So again, if you want to know more about that word Protestant and how it shows up 12 years after the start of the Reformation, I'm happy to talk about it. But I just want to name it here because I do think the word itself tends to inform how we think of ourselves. And I don't think Protestant is particularly helpful. I'd much more focus on a reforming church, which keeps us a little more humble, okay? So now, all of that is a sort of preface to these four distinctives. These are not, as always, these are not exhaustive. This is somewhat arbitrary. Again, we could add some, we could subtract some, we could talk about this for a very long time, but I'm going to lift up four distinctive things that describe or define who we are as Lutherans. First, the call of God as Lutherans, we believe, sanctifies the responsibilities of everyday life. So again, we could talk about that a long time. What it means that you, and we've talked about this, whether I've used this language or not in this space, but we've talked about it in prior episodes, you are being called by God to do something that only you can do. The technical word for that is vocation. Again, it means calling. Vocare means to listen to the voice of God. And so as Lutherans, we believe everyone, not just priests, not just bishops, but lay people in business, in government, in medicine, in education, in the nonprofit world, as parents, all of us are called to do God's work, okay? So it elevates our responsibility, that understanding, as followers of Christ, as people who are called to do God's work wherever we find ourselves. That's the first point. Second point, the believer's relation to God need not be mediated exclusively through, here I'm going to use some technical language, through an ecclesiastical magisterium. So the believer's relation to God need not be mediated exclusively through an ecclesiastical magisterium. That's a fancy way of saying the teaching office of the church. So even in the Lutheran tradition, we have pastors, we have bishops, and we're not saying that those are unimportant. We're just saying as Lutherans that, yes, you can find God through corporate worship. We actually think it's quite important. You can find God mediated through people who are officers of the church, priests and bishops, but you can also have a more direct access to God in your own spiritual life, okay? And so that was sort of I don't know if it was entirely new teaching in the part of Luther, but it was certainly an emphasis of his. So again, the sort of this direct relationship to God, not only through priests or bishops. Third, again, a third Lutheran distinctive. Lutherans have a commitment to the study of the Bible and a commitment to the church's liturgy. This is our worship life together. And are also particularly committed to translating these things, the Bible and our liturgical practices, into the language of the people. Martin Luther himself famously almost single-handedly created what is considered to be modern-day German, right, through his translation of the Bible into the vernacular, into the language of the people. And ever since then, that has been an important part of, again, the Lutheran distinctive, making sure that we have access, immediate access, to the words of the Bible in the language we speak, and that we use that language in our worship life. Okay, and then the fourth distinctive would be an appreciation for and a celebration of the arts, particularly music. And that musical emphasis goes all the way back again to Martin Luther, who famously used common tunes that would have been known by people of his time and wrote important theological words to them. A Mighty Fortress Is Our God is perhaps his most famous hymn. And that tradition continues all the way from him through people like Johann Sebastian Bach, who many would argue is the most important musician ever to have lived, and he was a faithful Lutheran, and a lot of his works are theological sort of musical pieces set for worship, and it continues all the way to this day, and here at St. Philip the Deacon even. I've talked many, many times about our emphasis on music, and again, that would certainly be a distinctive about who we are and what makes us Lutheran. So again, more could be said, but that's at least a provisional start to, again, what was a really wonderful question from a listener. And again, the person who asked me this question, you know who you are. I saw you Sunday. Thank you again for asking it. As always, if you, whoever you are listening to this, have more questions either about this topic or about something entirely different, I would love to hear from you so we could address it in a future episode. And until then, I'm grateful for your time today. I hope this has been somewhat helpful. And until next time, as always, be well, stay in touch, and God bless.